We appreciate that. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 7 once again. That might have been a false alarm on the missionary. That was Abigail coming in late. Boy, wouldn't you hate to be the preacher's young, and wouldn't that be awful? I tell you what, bless their hearts. If they can grow up to be half normal, then that's just a miracle, isn't it? No, I appreciate my youngins, and I'm glad she made it in safely. You always wonder, you know, somebody not right where they ought to be when you think they ought to be. Well, did something happen? You hope not. But anyway, I'm glad she made it in. And if a missionary comes in, we'll just let them come at the end of the service. If not, let's pray for them and hope nothing happened with their vehicle or something along the way. But that's all right. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, we're going to read that. And this is what I preached from this morning. So we'll read these same verses again. And for those that weren't here, and maybe just to refresh our memories, we'll give just a little review of what we went over this morning, and then we'll just get right into the remainder of the verses in this passage of Scripture we've been looking at. But it's Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6, and then we will pray one more time. The Bible said, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." And then we're going to read verse number 6 as well. I believe it goes along with the thought. He said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Let's pray before we really get started. Father, we just come one more time. Not to be redundant or repetitive, but Lord, we really desire your help tonight. I pray that you would speak to our hearts from the Word of God. I pray that we'd have that good liberty that we had this morning to preach and try to expound upon this subject. Lord, we're nothing in and of ourselves, but I really desire and need your help tonight. We've already had things that's been mentioned in prayer and for objects of prayer. Lord, you know each and every one, but we pray and I ask especially that you just anoint the preaching of the Word of God. I pray that you would give us hearing ears and hearts, and I pray, Lord, that we would examine our lives in light of the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit would use the Word to penetrate deep into our spiritual lives, that we might be what we ought to be for your honor and for your glory. We'll thank you for all that you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, we said this morning that our text and our title would come from verse number 1. And that's where we started out and preaching on the subject, "Judge not that you be not judged." So this is part 2, "Judge not that ye be not judged." And we said this is without a doubt one of the most used verses and one of the most abused. Most of the time when you hear "judge not that ye be not judged," it's not even used properly, not used the way that the Lord intended for it to be used. I was talking with Brother Kyle after the service this morning. We was talking about what commentaries say about Matthew chapter number 7, and I really couldn't find a whole lot. I mean, most of them you read, they give just some basic information, and everybody talks about the mode is a small particle and the beam is a large item in somebody's eye, and that's about the gist of it. And maybe deal with verse number 2 a little bit about with how you judge somebody. That's how you're going to be judged, but not a whole lot of commentary, or I don't even know that I've ever heard a message about Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. So we wanted to deal with this passage of Scripture this morning, once again tonight. We said today, first of all, I gave 3 points in the message this morning. We said, first of all, there's an injunction. And an injunction is a court order commanding or forbidding something. And we said the injunction is in verse number 1. God says, judge not that ye be not judged. And so that's what God says about it. Judge not that ye be not judged. That's an injunction. We dealt with a few minutes on what it is not. What it is not. Judging is not naming sin. I think sometimes we get the wrong impression. Well, you shouldn't say anything about that. That's not what judging is. If God's called it sin, it's still sin. It's always going to be sin. It's sin if it's in me. It's sin if it's in you. If it's in my family. If it's in your family, it doesn't matter. It's still sin. And when sin is a matter of fact, well, that's what it is. It's a factual thing. But the judging comes in the attitude. If you state something as a fact, that is not judging. If we didn't deal with sin, we sure couldn't preach the Bible. God told Isaiah, he said, cry aloud, spare not, show my people Israel their sin. And so we're not talking about dealing with sin. We talked about what it is not. And then we said what it is. And we looked at that word judge, and it means to decide or to try a matter. Just like a judge sitting on a bench trying a case. He's there to decide the case. And what it is, we said that it means this. We're judging somebody when we make severe remarks about others and we are putting them down or maybe building ourselves up while we're putting somebody else down. And so that's what judging is when the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. So we said there's an injunction in the Bible, and God says, judge not that you be not judged. Second of all, we said there's an instance. In verse number 2, the Bible said, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And so there's a reason in the Bible why God says not to judge. It's there for our protection. Because the Bible says how you judge, you're going to be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And we gave several examples from the Bible, or instances from the Bible. You may judge somebody harshly about something. You'd better be careful. It'll probably come back on you. It'll probably be worse when it comes around to you. So we talked about that. There's instances in the Bible of judging. And then the last thing we said this morning, there's an illustration of judging in verse number 3. The Bible said, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? There's an illustration of judging in verse number 3. And the illustration in verse number 3 is to point out that if you cannot see, and that's what we're doing when we're judging, you can't see, there's something in your eye. And if you cannot see, you don't need to be judging. You're not in a position to judge somebody else. If they've got a mote in their eye, they've got a little small something in their life, while we have something large in our life. And the mote is a small thing, and the beam is like a stick of firewood. That's what that word means there. A stick of timber is what that's talking about. So you have an illustration in the Bible, but there's some more verses. There's 3 more verses here that I want to deal with tonight. And so number 4 in our message if we keep on going 1, 2, 3, 4. Number four, there's the irony. Verse number four. Now, look at it, what it says. And this is starting again fresh tonight. Number four, there's the irony. The Lord Jesus said, "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye." Now, that's similar to verse number three, but that's not the same thing. He's given another instance or an example, but really it's an irony. Now, an irony is this. If you go to watch a play, and maybe there's two characters that are in the play, and they're going along with the script, and in the play that you're watching, neither one of the characters knows what's going on, but the audience can see what's going on. That's what we have in verse number four. We have an irony. Neither one of these brothers or these men can see what's going on, but we, looking into the Word of God, we can see what's going on. And so in verse number four, we have an irony. "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye." So we have an irony there in verse number four. Now, as I was studying and thinking about this, and I don't think we would normally think of it like this, but there is goodwill in verse number four. There's kindness in verse number four. There is a good intention in verse number four. I believe this. Here's somebody that's wanting to help somebody else. But the Lord Jesus said, how will you be able to help somebody else if you cannot see your own self? How can you help pull a little mote out of somebody's eye if you've got a beam in your own eye? And so we see that. There's, you know, not everybody that has a judgmental spirit is trying to be mean. You know, you start out, I really want to help somebody. And if they just listen to me, isn't that how it is? And then you get aggravated because they don't listen. And it becomes, well, they don't listen to me. They're a big dummy. You know, it becomes derogatory. But it starts out, I'd really like to help these people. I'd really like to help this person. And so there's some help intended. There's some benevolence. There's some goodwill in verse number four. I told you this morning how I woke up a couple of weeks ago and I think it was actually a piece of metal in my eye and it was hurting so badly. And it was hurting to the point that my nose was even running. I just couldn't even function. If something had not happened, I would have probably ended up going to the doctor trying to get some relief. It was hurting so bad. But when that happened in my life, I wanted it out. And I needed some help. See, I tried to get it out myself, but I couldn't get it out myself. I needed some help. And there's some help that is intended here in verse number four. And there is a reason why I went to my wife and asked her to help me. You know, I'd sat around that morning. I went to her and I didn't go to Noah. Now, Noah's a good fellow and everything, and he would have helped me if he could. But you may not know this about Noah. He's blind. If he doesn't have his contacts in, if he doesn't have his glasses in, he can't tell who's in the house. He's about blind. I've talked to him before about it. See, I've had good eyesight all my life. I don't know what it's like to be like that. But he can't read writing on a, you know, on a wall. He just can't see things. So I went to Kim. She can see better than Noah. I went to her and I said, and I'm in the bedroom and I'm in there trying to read my Bible and I'm waiting till the time she normally gets up. And as soon as I heard her stirring and I walked in there holding my eyeball open and I heard her, I knew she's getting ready to get up. It's about 10:30. Don't you throw that songbook at me. No, it's way earlier than that. But I went in, I said, something's in my eye. I said, as soon as you get up, I need you to come look in my eye and see if you can get this out. And she still waited about 5 minutes. And I mean, they're about to die. But I knew if she could get in there and help me, maybe she could get that thing out of my eye that was killing me. I needed some help. And there is some help in verse number 4. But if you're going to get some help, you got to have somebody that can see. You got to have somebody that can see. And that's what we're coming down to in this passage of Scripture. We have to be able to see clearly if we're going to help anybody else. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse number 39, he told the parable over there. He said, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? If you need some help, you don't want to blind another blind person. If you're blind, you don't want another blind person to lead you along. You got to have somebody that can see. If you got a problem in your life, you don't go to somebody that's got the same thing going on. You got to go to somebody that can see clearly if you're going to get some help. But you know, there's a lot of people in this world. They mean well. They're well-meaning people. But they got the same problem and worse that other people do, and you just can't get no help like that. I call it sometimes good old boyology. You ever had any of that? That'll get you in trouble. I heard a while back this statement. Somebody was talking to another person back going to church and how they needed to be in church. And this one person, far as I know, they had never went to church. And they made the statement. They said, well, me and my friend were talking about that. And we decided you didn't need to be in church every time the doors was open. That kind of help is not going to help you. But here's two people that don't go to church, and they've had a conference among themselves, and they've decided among themselves that church is not that important, and they might not have darkened the doors in 40 or 50 years. Well, of course, that's what they decided about church. See, they're trying to help one another and give somebody some advice, and they decided. That's what they said. They decided. They decided. What's God have to say about it? That's what matters. And then you've got some people, they're the naturalist, you know. And there's always somebody, they say, well, I believe I can worship God just as good out on the mountain. I've heard that I don't know how many times. I can go out in the woods and I can worship God out there. Here's the problem with that. That's not how God ordained it to be. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching, as ye see the day, the coming of the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll encourage one another more to be in the house of God, not to lay out. Well, I can worship God on the mountaintop. Here's the problem. People really don't do that. They just say that they do that. That makes them feel good. And there's so many people says that that's a common thing that you hear. But that is not going to help you. The Bible says Jesus Christ died for the church and gave himself for the church. He designed and intended that there be pastors and teachers and edification and teaching and doctrine and coming together. There's a work to be done in the world, and the Lord Jesus does it through the church. Next time you talk to the naturalist, just ask them, say, well, who's your pastor? Where do you put your offering? In a hole in the oak tree? It's just not what the Lord said. But there's a lot of well-meaning people, And they give along a lot of wrong-headed advice. They've all got something in their eye, and they're trying to help each other down the road. But when you're trying to help somebody apart from the Word of God, you're not going to be very much help. There's the philosopher. Well, God helps those that help themselves. I've heard that I don't know how many times. Well, you know what the Bible says? God helps those that help themselves. Only problem with that, that is not in the Bible. Did you know that? That's not in the Bible. Well, just hang in there. Do the best you can. You got to keep trying. God helps those. Now, we could dig around and maybe find some principles along those lines, but the Bible doesn't say that. But you've got people giving advice. You see what I'm saying? They're trying to help somebody. They think that's a good thing to say. They've heard somebody else say that. Only problem is, that is not in the Word of God. There's a psychiatrist that says, well, you've got to learn to forgive yourself. I know you're going through a hard time. You just need to learn to forgive yourself. You know what? That is not in the Bible. I know that sounds good. I've read that in books. I've heard preachers say that down through the years. But I got to thinking about that one time and studying about that one time, and I could not find that in the Bible. Say, preacher, don't you think that's a good thing? I don't know if that's a good thing or not, because I don't know what God says about it. Here's what God says about it. I'd better have the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm to forgive my brother. That's what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32 talks about forgiving your brother. I know that's what the Bible says, but this other stuff, I don't know. If we're really going to try to help somebody, we can only help them in accordance to the Word of God. Everything else is just a stab in the dark. You're going to try to say something to make somebody feel good. Well, it might do that, but what does the Bible say about it? Now, the irony here is, here's somebody that wants to help somebody else, but they've got a beam in their eye. How are they going to help get a little mote out of their brother's eye? That's the irony of verse number 4. Fifth thing I want to show you, there's only six things. There's the instruction. Now we're getting down to why. Why Jesus preached this message. Why Jesus taught this lesson about judging. The instruction is in verse number 5. Here it is. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. This is what we're getting down to. This is the instruction. This is the reason for the passage of Scripture. Thou hypocrite, first. And I underline that in my Bible. If the Bible says the word first, you say, what should I do? Do that first. First, he said, cast out the beam out of thine own eye. This is what we're getting down to. There's a great lesson here in this passage of Scripture. This might be a whole other message, I don't know. But about how we are viewed. You know, we are very conscious about how we are viewed. What we think of ourselves, what somebody else thinks about us. Let me show you what I mean right here in Matthew chapter number 7. First of all, there's how we view ourselves. How we view ourselves. Verse number 1, judge. That's how we view ourselves a lot of the time. Judge. Say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, here's how it is. I'm the dad. I know what's wrong with everybody. I know what's wrong with my wife. I know what's wrong with my children. I'm a man. I know what's wrong in the church. I know what's wrong in the country. You know, Obama wouldn't have near as many problems if he'd just call and ask me what he ought to do. Because I know. Because that's how we are. We're judge. That's how we view ourselves. You want to know what to do? Ask me. I'll tell you what to do. I know what to do. Isn't that how we are? Moms, you're the same way. I'm not just saying. I'm a dad. I can say that. But moms, you're the same way. Judge. You know what's wrong with the other ladies. And you know what's wrong with the children. And you know what's wrong with your husband. If that boneheaded fellow would just listen to you. You know what's wrong with him. Because you're the judge. And that's how we view ourselves. At that most of the time, we're very important. What we have to say, that's the way it is. And boy, don't get me started on teenagers, because they know everything. I went through that once upon a time too. Boy, there's a time period in your life before you know better that you think you know everything. But then if God allows you to live just a few more years, you'll find out you don't know anything. But you go through that period in your life, you know everything. Most young preachers are like that. They start out, they know everything. You find out as you go along in life, you don't know everything. You don't have all the answers. Something you were dogmatic on once upon a time, you might not be as dogmatic about it later on because you find out you don't know everything. That's how we view ourselves, judge. Now, there's how others view us. That's in verse number 4. How others view us is this. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. It's hard for us to see that we're not perfect. But it's easy to see that other people are not perfect. They got a beam in their eye. That fellow's trying to tell me what to do. Why, he's got bigger problems than I do. Somebody said a while back, they was talking about, wonder what somebody would think about something. People's got so many problems, I don't know how you'd find time to gossip about anybody else. Most everybody I know have got problems. But it's easy to see that the other fellow's got a beam in his eye. The dad knows everything, and the teenagers know that dad has got his own problems. You know, parents aren't perfect. It's sort of like this morning, Chloe got up and she wanted to watch a cartoon. And I said, it's Sunday. You don't need to be sitting there watching with the TV on Sunday morning, and I'd been studying at the table, and I had my computer screen on. Now, I was honestly studying. I've got a Bible on my computer screen, but to her, what do you think she thought? Do you think at 6 years old she would look and say, you hypocrite? There ain't no different in what looking at that and me watching TV. There's how others view us. And I thought about that. I thought about that as I told her. I said, no, you can't sit over there and watch TV. And here I was, and that's what it looks like. And I said, you come over here and eat your cereal. You know, I closed it up and pushed it aside because I didn't want her to think that I was sitting there on Facebook or something. But that's how others view us. They see the beam that is in our eye that we cannot see our own selves. And so there's how we view ourselves, and there's how others view us. But in verse number 5 is how God views us. You know what? He sees us like we really are. And the Lord Jesus said there in verse 5, thou hypocrite. First, he said, cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Thou hypocrite. You know what a hypocrite is. In the Bible, it was the play actor. And in the Greek society, they would carry around these masks. And it was on a stick. And they would hold up that mask in front of their face.
They're feigning to be something. They're playing a part to be something that they're really not. That's what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is playing to be something that they're really not. And so the Lord Jesus said about judging, that when we would judge others, you hypocrite, first cast the beam out of your own eye. That's the instruction that we should learn from Matthew chapter number 7. Cast the beam out of your own eye. Now there's the last thing in verse number 5. There's the intent. And this is the meaning of the whole passage of Scripture. He said, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, do you notice the Lord Jesus doesn't say, don't cast a mote out of your brother's eye? That's not what he's teaching here. But he said, you need to get the beam out of your own eye, and then. That's the meaning of this whole passage of Scripture. And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You ought to underline this. The aim of the whole passage of Scripture is that we would get to the place where we could see clearly. Then, when you get that out of your eye, then you'll be able to see clearly. Then you'll be able to cast the mote out of, thy brother's eye. Now, the other morning when I had the little piece of something in my eye, and it took a while to find it. Finally, Kim came in there, and I've got a real bright reading light beside my recliner. And I had to lay upside down in the recliner and put my feet at the head. And she got that real bright light, and she looked and she looked. I said, I know there's something in my eye, and it was killing me. And finally, I held my eyelid up, and I got up and I got her a pair of reading glasses to, I don't know if she put them on, but I said, put these on, do something. You got to help me. I know it's in there. And I held it up and got in the light just right, and she found that little speck. And she took a folded up part of a tissue, got the sharp corner, and she just reached in and touched that little speck and got it right out of my eye. And she said, looky there. And you know what happened? I was in so much pain. I was hurt. But as soon as she got that out of my eye, I blinked a few times. I seen that speck, and I said, that was it. Pain was gone, eyes cleared up, and you know what? I could see clearly when she got that little mote out of my eye. And the Lord Jesus is saying here, you have to be able to see clearly if you're going to help somebody else. And so we find that in verse number 5. The aim is to see clearly. A judging spirit will blind you. You get a judging spirit about you, and you're throwing off on everybody and everything, and you got that holier-than-thou attitude about yourself, it'll blind you. And you won't even be able to see that you've got that. But if we could get that beam out of our lives, you know what that will do? That will enable you to be able to help somebody else. It'll take away that ability not to see what's going on in your life and see what's going on in the life of somebody else. And like Kim helped me, you and I will be able to help somebody else. Thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You'll be able to help somebody. I needed some help. We live in a day and time people need help. And if God's people cannot help somebody, what good are we? when they got problems, when they got things going on in their lives. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. This is the kind of help we're talking about. And I think probably you know what Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 is saying. But I want us to turn over there and read that, because I believe that's what Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6 is trying to get us to see. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." You remember me preaching about that this morning, about Moses being a meek man? He could have said something, but he didn't. The Bible says, "Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, brethren. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." You ought to underline that, "ye which are spiritual." If there's ever a need in this late hour in which we're living in, and I do believe we're living in a late hour, I believe we're living in the Laodicean church age, we need a spiritual membership. It's lacking. We need spiritual leadership. We need spiritual men and women. I'm talking about people that walk with God. They know what the Word of God says. They are able to help one another. It's what the Bible says, "Brethren, ye which are spiritual." You ought to underline that. I need to be more spiritual. We as a church need to be more spiritual. You need to be more spiritual. I'm not throwing off on you. I'm saying it. A matter of fact, in the last days, we need to be more spiritual concerning the things of God. Now, it's easy to make some high-sounding decree about somebody else's sin. You know what? You might think that sounds spiritual, but there's really nothing spiritual about that at all. Anybody can do that. Throw off, judge, in a harsh, critical matter somebody else and not even know really many times what the real situation is. Anybody can do that. That's not spiritual. But it takes somebody spiritual to do what Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1 is saying. Now look back at Matthew chapter 7. We'll look at verse number 6 and I'll close. I've studied about this, and really, everybody I read after, they make no connection. Verses 1 through 5 and then verse number 6. And verse number 6 doesn't go with verse number 7. Verse number 7 starts another thought. It begins a section on prayer. But verse number 6 is not alone. And it's there for a reason. But look what it says. The Lord Jesus, He's talking about judging. "Judge not that you be not judged." We've looked at verses 1 through 5. Then right after that, verse number 6. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Now that verse of Scripture, right after talking about judging, the Lord Jesus not implies, but says, there's some people that are like dogs and pigs. Now, that's sort of harsh, isn't it? That's sort of rough. He says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs." He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about holy things. That's the gospel and everything else to do with the Word of God. He said, "Don't give that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine." If you had, I thought about this the other day. If you had some treasure, if you had some gold and diamond earrings and gold chains and maybe some of them pearls, real pearls, a strand of pearls, if you had some treasure, if you had a real nice watch and some rings, you know, stuff you'd keep up at home, if you took that out to where a bunch of hogs were, and threw it out in the hog pen, you know what them hogs would do? They wouldn't pay no more attention to that than nothing. They might sniff of it. They might look at it. But what they do more than anything else, they just walk and trample all over it. And that's how some people are when it comes to the Word of God. It means nothing to them. They just soon trample that. It means absolutely nothing. They won't pay no attention whatsoever to the holy things of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is a byword. God's name's a curse word. That's what Jesus is talking about. He said that's how they are. But do you know what? It takes some major spirituality to know how to deal with people. Some you can help. Cast a mote out, and it'll make a real difference in their lives. There's others that you cannot help. Can you tell the difference between the two? You ever seen somebody get some help that you had written off and you didn't think there was no hope for them? See, you and I don't know. How are you going to know who to help? How to help. That verse number 6 takes, and I wrote in my Bible, that takes major spiritual discernment. And you and I need this in this day and time in which we live. Because there's a lot of people, they don't want anything to do with the Word of God. But if they had somebody real spiritual to witness to them, to help them, they might respond. If they could get a few things out of their eyes. But boy, we need a spiritual membership in this day and time in which we live. So verse number 6, at first it might seem like, well, that's it. That don't fit. But you know what? As I study this, I believe it's exactly where it needs to be. Jesus is saying we need to get some beams out of our eyes that we can help somebody else, that we can know who to help and how to help. And that's the purpose of Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And so we preached a message on the subject. I don't believe I've ever preached on that before. But the Lord's really showed me some things. I hope in the days ahead that I can apply it more and more in my life. That'd really help us as a church, wouldn't it? I'm not judging you. That'd help any church that really take and apply. Apply, because these people needs a lot of help in this day and time in which we live. I want to ask Sister Sheila to come back.